was a Kohen Gadol. And following up on that statement, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Chachamim Omrim, Lo Niskahin Moshe Elashivas Yemeha Miluim Bilvad. The Chachamim say that Moshe Rabbeinu was in fact only turned into a Kohen for the 7 days of the Miluim, only that week alone. But, surprisingly, V'yesh Omrim, there was another view, that Lo Paska Kahuna Elamizaro Shel Moshe, that the Kahuna was only removed, was only taken away from Moshe Rabbeinu's children. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu himself remained a Kohen for the rest of his life. And Moshe Rabbeinu, until he died, in fact, performed and acted as a Kohen just like Aaron and his sons. And that it was that second opinion that was reflected in the earlier statement in the Gemara that Moshe was a Kohen Gadol. Not only was he a regular Kohen, but that he served as a Kohen Gadol alongside Aaron for the rest of his life. And so, on the one hand, there is this one opinion that Moshe simply was a Kohen. The other opinion, though, does not appear to reject that approach to understanding Moshe's role in its entirety. The other view, the Chachamim, doesn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu was not a Kohen. It just says that while the other opinion held that his kahuna stopped with the next generation, it says that instead the kahuna stopped after the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. But during the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, in fact, Niskahin Moshe, that Moshe was really a Kohen during the course of that week. Now, as I said, there's certainly more to elaborate on here, but that seems to be pretty clear, the simple meaning of the Gemara, that for the course of that week, Moshe Rabbeinu was, in fact, a Kohen. With that in mind, let's turn to a very brief Gemara around which I'd like the rest of our discussion to center, a Gemara which appears both in Maseches Tanis and in Maseches Avodah Zarah, here quoted in source number 3 from Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Akiva Ikla Leginzak, Rabbi Akiva visited a certain place, and Ba'omine, they asked him a series of questions, one of which was, Bamesh Shimesh Moshe Kol Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. They asked Rabbi Akiva, during that week when Moshe Rabbeinu was serving as a Kohen in the Mishkan, Bamesh Shimesh, which means, what did he wear? We're all familiar, as we'll be reading in the coming weeks, with the Big Day Kahuna, that Aaron and his descendants were not allowed to serve in the Mikdash without wearing the very special garments dictated in Parshas Tetzaveh. And so Moshe, who was not Aaron and his family, what did he wear when he was doing Avodah in the Mikdash? And Lo Hava Biyadei, Rabbi Akiva didn't know the answer. Asa Shal Bei Medrasha, he went and asked in the base, around in the base medrash, what do people think of this question? And Amri and people said, the response was, Bameshi Mesh Moshe Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, what did he wear? B'chaluk Lavan, he wore a simple white shirt, a cloak. In other words, it would seem the Gemara is saying, he didn't wear the Big Day Kahuna with a capital Beis and a capital Kaf. He wore some simpler clothing, and Rav Kahana Masti B'chalak Lavan She'in Bo Imar, Rav Kahana added that there was a certain restriction on the clothing he was wearing. It didn't have a kind of a seam or rim or on the top. In any case, it would seem that this means that he didn't wear the Big Day Kahuna. Before we continue with that understanding of the Gemara, which is in fact adopted, as far as I can tell, by all of the Rishonim, it is intriguing to see that there is one interpretation of this Gemara that actually doesn't understand it this way. If you look in the Ein Yaakov, the Sefer that collects all of the Agados in the Gemara, there's one Perush there, a Perush of Rav Yoshiyahu Pinto, a Rav from Syria in the 17th century. So he in fact writes that when the Gemara asked, what did Moshe wear, it was assuming, of course, Moshe wore Big Day Kahuna. How could a Kohen serve in the Mishkan without wearing Big Day Kahuna? The only question was, since Moshe was serving as instead of Aaron, Haya Oved B'Shmona Begadim K'Kohen Gadol or B'Arba K'Kohen Hedyot? The only question the Gemara was asking was, did he wear the special Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, or did he wear the more plain begadim of the Kohen Hedyot? Delo mistabra lomar shalo avad begadei kodesh. Of course he had to wear some sort of special begadim. And when the Gemara answered he wore chaluk lavan, that was its way of saying he wore the Big Day Kohen Hedyot rather than the Big Day Kohen Gadol. But as I said, this is not the way this Gemara is understood, as far as I can tell, by any of the Rishonim. And rather, the Gemara is understood, as I said before, to be saying that Moshe, in fact, didn't wear any big day kahuna at all. But this then raises the obvious question, which is, why not? Why did the whole question of the Gemara takes apparently as a given that Moshe didn't wear the big day kahuna? That's why it was asking, well, what did he wear? So why was the Gemara assuming that he didn't wear big day kahuna? And on this matter, we find three different explanations in the Rishonim. Source number five, Rashi says, Lo nishtamesh b'big day kahuna. The Gemara presumes that Moshe didn't actually wear the big day kahuna. Why not? D'chsiv, because the pasuk says, V'yasisa big day kodesh la'aharon achicha. When describing and introducing the big day kahuna, the Torah doesn't say that you should make begadim for the kohanim. It specifically says you should make the begadim for Aharon and his descendants. Meaning that, as the Rashi goes on to say, V'hu haya zar etzlan. Moshe was a zar with respect to the big day kahuna. Even if he may have been a kohen during that week, that didn't mean he could wear the big day kahuna, because the big day kahuna were exclusively for Aaron and his family. So the Torah said that he has to do the avod al pihadimur shimesh, but apparently without the big day kahuna, because those are only for Aaron's family. Turn to the next source, which is Tosfos, there in Maseches Avodah Zarah, who says as follows, that he says, wait a second. According to the other opinion in the Gemara in Zvachim, that Moshe was a Kohen for his whole life, obviously he wore Big Day Kahuna. He was a regular Kohen for his whole life. And the Gemara's question is only, Tosfos says, to get to the Yesh Lomar and the underlined line, the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim Dafka Ibaya. The Gemara's question was only about the 7 days of Miluim. Even according to the opinion that Moshe was a Kohen for his whole life, and he did wear Big Day Kahuna for his whole life, even according to that view, he didn't wear Big Day Kahuna for the first week. Why not? Again, why this presumption that there were no Big Day Kahuna? Says Tosfos, Sha'adayin lo niskadshu big day kahuna. He couldn't wear the big day kahuna during the Shivas Yimei Hamiluim, because it was during the Shivas Yimei Hamiluim that Moshe went through the ceremony of consecrating the big day kahuna themselves. And so there really were no big day kahuna yet that had the kedusha that could be used as big day kahuna. And therefore, obviously, he didn't wear big day kahuna during the week of the Miluim. And finally, the third view, which is further on in Tosfos, V'harav Yaakov mi'arlion piresh, different one of the Balei HaTosfos explained, that Da'afilu niskadshu, even if the Big Day Kahuna had been sanctified, and there were Big Day Kahuna that he could have worn, why didn't Moshe wear Big Day Kahuna? Because, he says, Moshe was taking apart the Mishkan every day, Haya nechshav kim Obama, V'ein Big Day Kahuna b'bama. He says, because since the Mishkan was not really a Mishkan yet, the Mishkan was being put together and taken apart every day, it wasn't yet a permanent place or even a semi-permanent place of Avoda, and therefore it didn't have the status of the Mishkan. It had the status of a more private or temporary place of worship, which is called a Bama, and there is no requirement of Big Day Kahuna in a Bama. The Big Day Kahuna are only required in the Mishkan and the Mikdash, and the Mishkan was not yet the Mishkan, and that's why Big Day Kahuna were not required. And so we have here then, putting aside the interpretation of the Gemara of Rav Pinto, we have in the Rishonim here three different explanations as to why Moshe Rabbeinu did not wear Big Day Kahuna during the Yimei HaMiluim. Rashi's explanation that the Big Day Kahuna are only for Aharon's family and not for anybody else. Tosfos' explanation that the Big Day Kahuna were just unavailable because they hadn't been Mekudosh yet. And the view of the Rimei Orleon that this Avoda this week didn't need Big Day Kahuna because it was not yet a Mishkan, it was just a Bama. And that was what was behind, for these three views, the Gemara's question, well, what did he wear then if he wasn't wearing Bigdei Kahuna? And according to all three, the Gemara's answer was, he wore something respectable, something else, but not the Bigdei Kahuna. What I'd like to do is take this, these answers and ask a bit of a deeper question. All of these answers kind of force us into a different question. See, for the third view, for the Ri Mei Orleon, we can understand why, in fact, it was okay for Moshe to do Avoda without the Bigdei Kahuna, because Bigdei Kahuna aren't required in Abama. It's not the Mishkan, and so it doesn't require Bigdei Kahuna. But for Rashi and Tosfos, who apparently did not think that the Mishkan itself was the issue, why was it okay for Moshe to do Avoda without the Bigdei Kahuna? Normally in the Mishkan and in the Mikdash, Bigdei Kahuna are required for a Kohen. So all Rashi said was that Bigdei Kahuna are only for Aaron's family. But why is that? If Hashem wanted Moshe to do Avoda in the Mishkan, why didn't he say that Moshe should also wear Bigdei Kahuna if Bigdei Kahuna are necessary for Avoda in the Mishkan? And for Tosfos as well, if the reason why Moshe didn't wear Bigdei Kahuna was because they were unavailable, well then why didn't Hashem make them available? Right? If Bigdei Kahuna are an important component of a Kohen serving in the Mishkan, then why was it set up that way to begin with? For there not to be Bigdei Kahuna that were available for Moshe to use. They may have been commanded to Aharon's family, but they weren't, but weren't they commanded to Aharon because they were necessary? And why weren't they commanded to Moshe for the period of time that he was serving as a Kohen? So maybe we need to look at all of this from a bit of a different angle. And an angle that I think will give us particular insight into the unusual role that Moshe Rabbeinu was playing at this particular time. There are two well-known and fundamental issues that lie at the root of the topics that we are discussing. And while each is deserving of its own much longer than a half-hour shiur, for today, allow me to present each very briefly, and I imagine that at least one and maybe both of them are familiar to a lot of you. Number one is, what is in fact the purpose of the Bigdei Kahuna? So the Bigdei Kahuna are, the Torah itself explains, as many of you probably remember, the pasuk that we'll read in a couple of weeks, that the Bigdei Kahuna were l'chavod u'l'sifares, that they were there for honor and glory. Many say, there is a famous question about l'chavod u'l'sifares, is it l'chavod u'l'sifares of whom? But many explain, and many Rishonim believe that this is the more compelling explanation, that this the kavod and tiferes of the Bigdei Kahuna means for the kavod and tiferes of Hashem, the kavod and tiferes of God, and that the Kohanim need to be dressed in a certain way, in a certain respectable and honored way, in order to honor Hashem appropriately when they walk into the Mikdash to serve Him. Our representatives to Hashem need to be dressed up in a particular way. So that's issue number one that lies at the root of these issues, is what is the purpose of the Bigdei Kahuna l'chavod u'l'sifares? Another fundamental and rather well-known issue goes to even deeper to the question of what is the role of the Kohanim altogether. And that is the issue that is brought up in the Gemara in Kiddushin. Are the Kohanim viewed as shluchei derachmana or shluchei didan? Are the Kohanim viewed as representatives of God to us, or are they viewed as representatives of us to God? And while the Gemara in Kiddushin reaches a certain conclusion, there's a Gemara in Nedarim that talks about this as well and appears to at least perhaps reach a different conclusion. And there is a very elaborate and somewhat technical halachic debate over what the conclusion of this question is. Are the Kohanim shluchei didan or shluchei derachmana? According to some, it's a little bit of both. And the truth is that it would seem clear that even if on technical grounds one comes to the conclusion that the Kohanim are in fact shluchei derachmana, as the Gemara in Kiddushin says, it is still, more broadly speaking, outside of the realm of technical halacha, rather clear that the Kohanim are accomplishing certain things on our behalf with their avoda and the mikdash, and therefore are our agents in some sense regardless. Though again, according to many Rishonim, they are even technically our agents as well. Okay, so we've now established a couple of fundamental pieces of background, the Bigdei Kahuna being for the purpose of L'chavod u'L'sifares, and the root question of the role of the Kohanim as Shluchei Derachmana versus Shluchei Didan. And I think that it is in the relationship between these two issues, the issue of L'chavor L'sifares and the issue of Shluchei Didan versus Shluchei Derachmana, that there was a glaring difference between the Avodas HaMikdash throughout the rest of history and the Avoda during the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. Let's turn for a moment to a different question and a different debate about the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. If you look in source number 7, I'm not going to read it through in the interest of time, but the Ramban in Parshas Pekudei writes on the Pasuk Vayakter Olav Ketores Samim that Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Ketores, the incense in the Mishkan, every day during the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. And he goes on to say later on, where he quotes Olas Tamid L'Doroseichem, that not only did Moshe Rabbeinu, not only was he maktir the Ketores every day during the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, but he also brought the Karbonos Tamid every day during the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, the Tamid in the morning and the Tamid in the afternoon. As he says in the last line, V'hine Moshe Rabbeinu b'chol ha'avodos ha'kohen harishon. Moshe was the first Kohen for all of the regular avodos that were done in the Mishkan that week and forevermore. In other words, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just bring the very specific karbanos that Hashem commanded to bring during the Yemei HaMiluim, but that the karbanos of the Miluim were framed during that week in the Mishkan, just as the Avoda and the Mikdash was always framed, with the Tamid Shel Shachar, the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, the Ketores, and so forth. But not everybody agrees with that. There's a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Pezayin Amud Beis, which is also appears in a little bit, I think, more elaborate form in the Toras Kohanim in Parsha Shmini, that talks not about the 7 days of Miluim, but about the Yom HaShmini, the 8th day of the Miluim, which was the day that Aharon and his family began to do the Avoda and the Mikdash. And it says that that day, the first of Nisan, when the Mishkan was finally really built for the first time, and the Aharon began the Avoda, that Tana Oso Yom Natal Eser Ataros, that day had 10 crowns, 10 firsts, and I'm not going to go through all of them, Rishon Lamaaseh Breishis, which means it was a Sunday, it was also Rosh Chodesh, Rishon Mekahuna, meaning the first day that Aaron and his family served as Kohanim. And one of the things that it says there is that that day was, as it's underlined there, Rishon LaAvoda. The 8th day of the Yemei HaMiluim was the first day of the Avoda, the first day of the service in the Mishkan. Now that, of course, seems a little odd, since, as we've just been talking about, Moshe Rabbeinu was bringing Karbanos in the Mishkan for the 7 days prior to that as well. So Rashi on that Gemara explains, what does it mean, Rishon LaAvoda? Rishon LaAvoda L'Seder Avodas Tzibor. This was the first day of the communal Avoda of the Jewish people, Temidin Ushar Karbanos Shel Trumas Halishka. This was the first day that the Karbanos Tamid were brought, and the other karbanos, which are brought and literally paid for by the Trumas Halishka, as we read about in Parshas Shkalim yesterday, which is where the money collected from the Matzis HaShekel so that everybody, the whole Jewish people, would have a portion in the communal karbanos from that fund, and that karban would be brought on behalf of the Jewish people, that started on the Yom HaShmini. And so according to Rashi, it would appear then that Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, didn't bring the Karban Tamid during the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. The first day of the Karban Tamid was the 8th day of the Miluim, unlike the Ramban's view that the Karban Tamid was brought during the first 7 days as well. However, it appears, I'm going to try to be a little briefer about this piece, but that there's another Rashi elsewhere on Chumash where he seems to contradict this. Rashi, and especially in Parshas Pinchas and the Karban Tamid, as quoted by the Sfas Emes in that last source, who seems to imply that there actually was a Karban Tamid during the first 7 days. And the Sfas Emes tries to resolve this contradiction by saying in the last two lines on your page, V'ulai kevan dezehoyim miluim v'chinuch ha'avoda lo chashvinan lay, that maybe because these 7 days were really a process of inauguration, a process of consecration, and he even throws in the word at the end that the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim lo hayu ela hachana, they were really just a preparation, and the Ikar HaVoda Hiskel Miyom HaShmini, that when Moshe was bringing the Karban Tamid during those 7 days, it wasn't really the Karban Tamid. It was, in fact, just preparation for the Karban Tamid. Now, built into that resolution of Rashi, I think, is something a little bit more, a little bit deeper, a little bit more meaningful, which is that when Rashi on Maseches Shabbos said that it was only on the eighth day that the Karbanos really started, what did he emphasize? He emphasized it was only on the eighth day that the Tzibur was bringing Karbanos, that the Jewish people were bringing Karbanos, that the Karban was paid for from the Trumas Halishka. And apparently, during those first 7 days, that wasn't the case. Moshe was bringing a Karban Tamid, but it wasn't being paid for by the Trumas Halishka. It was just a kind of going through the motions of the Karban Tamid, but, and here I think is a key point here, it wasn't a Karban Tamid that was being brought on behalf of the Jewish people. And here I think that gets to the crux of the issue. What was the nature of the Karbanos during the 7 days of the Yemei HaMiluim? The nature of the Karbanos during the 7 days of the Yemei HaMiluim was that they were specific Karbanos that Hashem commanded Moshe to bring for the purpose of consecrating the Mishkan. Was anybody being Yotzei a mitzvah when those Karbanos were being brought? So in the sense that Moshe Rabbeinu was following God's command, so in a certain sense he was following a tzivui Hashem, right? But those karbanos were a process of consecrating the Mishkan. They weren't really avoda in the normal sense. The Gemara says that the eighth day was the Rishon la'avoda. Why is the eighth day the Rishon la'avoda? Because the karbanos of the miluim weren't avoda in the sense that we usually mean it. Avoda means service. Avoda means worship. When the karbanos of the miluim were being brought, were they really fundamentally essentially, primarily an act of worship of God? Not exactly. What was their end goal? The goal wasn't worship. The goal was, after this, the Kohanim will be Kohanim. After this, the Mishkan will be a Mishkan. Their goal was that Hashem said, I want a Mishkan, and this is how you make it a Mishkan, through this process of these Karbanos. And that could be true, according to the Ramban, also, with regard to the Tamidim during that week. So why were the Big Day Kahuna not necessary during the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim? What happened then might not be regularly scheduled avoda, but now we've come to the conclusion, based on this Rashi and Ramban about the Tamidim, that it wasn't really avoda at all. And maybe that's why the Big Day Kahuna were not necessary. Their purpose was inaugurating the Kohanim into the service, sanctifying the Mishkan, establishing it as the seat of the Shekhinah. In other words, when Moshe Rabbeinu did this avoda, he was, in a certain sense, acting entirely as Shluchei Derachmana, not as Shluchei Didan. For the rest of history, when the Kohanim brought Karbanos, they were bringing Karbanos from the Trumas Halishka. They were bringing Karbanos to help the Jewish people fulfill our mitzvos, whether communal or individual, at the same time that they were, in a certain sense, Shluchei Derachmana. But when Moshe Rabbeinu was bringing the Karbanos during the Yemei HaMiluim, it was exclusively in the role as Shluchei Derachmana. We didn't have any mitzvos during that week. Hashem wanted a Mishkan, and in order to make the Mishkan, and in order to have the Kohanim be the consecrated Kohanim that he wanted to be, he asked Moshe to do this, and Moshe was doing it on God's behalf, not on ours. In fact, the Shekhinah hadn't even come down into the Mishkan yet, which was what happened on Yom HaShmini at the end of Parshas Pekudei, and it was before that Shekhinah that our Avodah happens. And if, as we developed earlier, the Big Day Kahuna serve what purpose? In what sense are they L'chavod L'Sifaras? If the Big Day Kahuna's main purpose of L'chavod L'Sifaras is that when the Kohanim are approaching the Shekhinah to worship God, they must not just come in their street clothes. They have to be dressed with honor and glory for Hashem to do that in a respectable way. That is the purpose of the Kavod and the Sifaras of the Big Day Kahuna, and perhaps that is why during the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, Big Day Kahuna were unavailable, as Tosfa said, or the Big Day Kahuna were only for Aharon, and we asked the question before, well, why weren't the Big Day Kahuna necessary during the Shivas Yemei HaMeiluim? Perhaps that's because the Big Day Kahuna are necessary dafka for the role of Kohanim as Shluchi Didan. And therefore, there was no need for Big Day Kahuna during the Shivas Yemei HaMeiluim, because Moshe Rabbeinu in the Shivas Yemei HaMeiluim was not Shaliach Didan. He was only Shaliach Derachmana. Moshe, as an agent of God, prepared the Mikdash for the Jewish people to use for their avoda for the rest of eternity. And as an agent of God, prepared the Kohanim B'nei Aharon themselves for their eternal role later as both Shluchei Derachmana and Shluchei Didan. Rav Moshe Kahn, it's of course all right there in the name, was both Moshe and a Kohen. He was presciently named by his parents as the embodiment of Moshe Rabbeinu during the Yemei HaMiluim. In his case, his Mishkan was the Stern College Beis Medrash, as well as the Drisha Institute Beis Medrash, and his Mishkan was really what a women's Beis Medrash symbolized and continues to symbolize for the Jewish people. His lifetime avoda, in a sense, was an extension, an extended period of Miluim. He, as Shaliach Derachmana, as an agent of Hashem, prepared that Mikdash, consecrated that Mikdash for half of the Jewish people to inhabit and use for their avoda for the rest of eternity. And, as an agent of God, he prepared several generations of Lomdos Torah, and through them, as Mrs. Price mentioned earlier, many future generations, for their eternal role as both Shluchei Didan and Shluchei Derachmana, as Moshe Rabbeinu did for his brother and his family, the Kohanim. With this in mind, just one more moment, it's worth considering more broadly Moshe Rabbeinu's role, not just in those 7 days, but Moshe Rabbeinu's role as leader of the Jewish people. Was he our shaliach during his lifetime, or was he Hashem's shaliach? And the answer is simultaneously straightforward and complex. Clearly, the simple answer is that Moshe, as he was during the Miluim, was shaliach derachmana. Hashem sent him to take us out of Egypt on Hashem's behalf, to be the conduit through which he gave us his Torah, hence the moniker Rabbeinu. He was shaliach to Hashem. The essence of Moshe's mission on earth was to bring Hashem and the Devar Hashem to us. Even when he was, for a week, engaged what it looked like avoda directed towards Hashem, it was all as Hashem's agent, not ours. That's the straightforward part. And yet, we know very well how much and with how much effort and angst Moshe also served as Shliach Didan, the Shliach of the Jewish people, during the course of his lifetime. All the way from Lama Harayosa, La'am Hazeh, to Vayechal Moshe, Pnei Hashem Elokav, and onwards to Vayakrev Moshe, Mishpatan Lifnei Hashem. He was very often Shaliach Didan. But he did this all of his own volition. Hashem's mission for Moshe was to be his agent. But Moshe decided to also be ours, to also be our Shaliach. He volunteered to be Shaliach Didan. And so as well, our Moshe HaKohen, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Kahn. While his job was to teach Torah, to be the Shaliach Derachmana, every student also felt, through that almost ineffable, peaceful magnetism of Rav Kahn's kindness, he was a Talmud Chacham, but he was also a Tzadik. Students sought him out to provide assistance with their challenges, for which he was always a kind ear and a helpful soul, volunteering to serve as Shliach Didan as well. And how appropriate, in fact, is that last pasuk that I just mentioned that reflects so powerfully Moshe Rabbeinu's role as Shliach Didan, that in response to the Benos Tzlafchad, Vayakrev Moshe es Mishpatan Lifnei Hashem. So many women around the world, nobody mentioned this yet, that almost 450 people learned for this siyum today. Men and women, but so many of them women. But so many women around the world feel that Rav Kahn responded to their wishes, both spoken and even unspoken, Vayakrev Moshe es Mishpatan Lifnei Hashem. And Hashem was listening, which is why the Torah world will forever be different, because our Moshe Rabbeinu, like the original, was not only a Shliach Derachmana, but also volunteered to be our Shliach Didan. Yehi zichro baruch.